Every vote counts and counts and counts and counts. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And counts and counts and counts.
and on and on and on. That's right.
This is starting to look like a landslide Linden event.
Boy, now, I love Chuck because he always brings up these wonderful comments and analogies from history. You have to explain to our listeners, who probably most don't understand what that is, landslide Lyndon.
Lyndon Johnson was in his first election. He won victory by 47 votes. I may not recall the number exactly, but it was somewhere like in the vicinity of 47 votes. And the margin of victory came from a town in which several dead individuals voted, and everybody in town voted in alphabetical order.
Oh, you know what? I like a town who does things decently and in order, Chuck.
Yes. Line up there.
I guess they sent out a notice and said, everybody with the last name A, you're going to vote at 7 a.m. with B at 8, and so on and so forth.
After that, he obtained the nickname Landslide Lyndon.
Well, I wonder what name is going to be given to Tom Barrett if it happens to be another landslide Lyndon moment coming out of Madison, Wisconsin in Tuesday's recall election of Governor Scott Walker. Because, Chuck, you and I were looking at this, and ladies and gentlemen, we are taping this on Tuesday night, so we're trying to find if there's any early indications of how the vote is going. And as we mentioned on the program the other day, that if we didn't see much in the media, that must mean Walker was walking away with. And so far, we're now sitting here at like after 9 o'clock at night, which means the polls have been closed for about half an hour in Wisconsin, since they're an hour behind us here in the time zones. And so we should be starting to see some early numbers. One of the numbers we are seeing, Chuck, and it's courtesy of Breitbart.com, is that there is a report coming out of the city of Madison, Wisconsin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, Madison, Wisconsin is the home of the University of Wisconsin, and it's also been rated in the top. Chuck thinks it was number one. I'm not sure, and honestly, I didn't even look it up, but it's been rated in the top percentiles of cities in the United States that are the most liberal. Well, Chuck, not only are they the most liberal, they may be rated the largest city in the United States, because only in Madison, Wisconsin can you get voter turnout at 119%.
Well, I'm not sure Madison is the only city. I wouldn't be a bit shocked to find out at some point that Chicago, certain precincts in Chicago, haven't had 120% or so turnout. But the reason that this is a big deal is Wisconsin has an extremely liberal voter registration policy. And
extremely liberal, yes.
Extremely liberal. And in fact, they attempted to tighten the law, and a federal judge stepped in and said, no, you will not tighten the law to make this thing any more, shall we say, legal and fair.
Yeah.
We're going to let everybody who wants to vote is going to get to vote. And in fact, there was some talk about the Teamsters bringing in unemployed and other Teamsters from places like Detroit who were going to register and vote on Election Day.
Well, you know, Chuck, that's true, because in many places, if you are a temporary worker, sometimes, especially around elections, your temporary work can be going to the polls.
Well, that's right. Look, there are some really goofy stuff going on down in Florida now, where Florida is trying to tighten up their voter registration and basically throw illegals off the rolls. This thing has kind of snowballed, and now the Department of Justice has warned them that if you purge your rolls of illegal voters, that there's going to be some kind of retribution. And Florida has basically...
You said that was the Department of Injustice, right?
Yes, that's right. The Department of Fast and Furious.
Yes.
And if you don't know what that reference is, we'll do that on another show. But in fact, last I heard, Florida was saying, we're going to do it anyway, because we can't have people voting who are not eligible to vote.
Who are here illegally, which means they've broken the law.
That's right.
But you know, Chuck, think about this. If you can change the rules to allow someone who has broken the law coming into this country to vote, fairly soon you're going to be able to get a judge who will look at it and say, well, as an issue of basic fairness, we can't prohibit felons from voting. no matter what their crime was. Since we're allowing one illegal person to vote, we should allow them all to vote.
Barry, this is becoming obviously part of the scheme for November. Let any and all vote. There are two very disparate views on voting at play here. One is that there are a set of rules and there are people who are eligible to vote and those who are not. And then there is a group who believe that everyone should vote, no matter their mental condition, whether they've been convicted of a serious crime. Now, you know, jaywalking, and okay, go ahead and vote.
Whether but if they can murdered produce a long-form birth certificate that's legal.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, as we've talked about, that whole issue, everybody's still asking all the wrong questions. And if you don't know what we mean, go back into our archives and look at when we talked about what a natural born citizen is. It's not what everybody thinks. But that being said, this is about eligibility to vote and who's going to be allowed to vote and what it can do to an election. I mean, there's an update on this story at Breitbart that says Madison, and they've misspelled Madison, Madison city clerk, talks to Politico. Again, even 96% outcome is completely unrealistic. And why have 25% projected by 11 a.m.? In other words, they projected a 25% outcome. Wow. Now, I went over to Politico, and they're being very disparaging of that 119%. But as of 4 p.m. Central, 48% of registered voters had actually turned out. Barry, 48% by 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
That's pretty good. That's healthy turnout.
And they're talking about they're on a pace for a 96% turnout. And, of course, Politico's making fun of it as being, well, not 119%. Let me tell you, a 96% turnout is almost as equally preposterous, in this kind of an election. And, of course, you've got the Kool-Aid drinkers who are saying in the comment section, so very, very proud of my hometown right now. How many cities have achieved this kind of engagement in history? Here's a reply. Vote early and vote often, baby.
Indeed. Well, that's exactly what it is. And Chuck, just to put this in perspective for our listeners, if you were around in Ohio during the 2004 election, when the marriage amendment was on the ballot in Ohio, there was turnout in certain counties in the state that reached 80%. 80% of registered voters came and voted. However, the overall turnout for that election was under 50%. So for them to say that you're going to have an overall statewide election that's going to hit somewhere in the 96% turnout range, Charles, that is begging for an investigation. But our big problem is the ones who would be doing the investigating would be the Department of Injustice.
And as the Breitbart article notes, quote, I'm sure Eric Holder's Department of Justice is on the case.
Oh, I'm sure that it is. Exactly. Well, the point is, the reason why this is such a big issue, why the entire country is looking at Wisconsin, and that is because this is a bellwether, Charles, and we talked a little bit about this on the program the other day, that President Obama and his fellow travelers in the mainstream media are trying desperately to downplay this issue because they realize that this one is an absolute mess. Obama won Wisconsin going away in 2008, 14 percentage points. Now, as we talked about yesterday, a Marquette University Law School, a poll that was done on this race and added the presidential race in, showed Obama with only an 8-point lead against Mitt Romney for Wisconsin. However, today, and this is ABC News chiming in by a Stringer reporter by the name of Gary Langer, saying, whatever Scott Walker's fate, Barack Obama may drag some bragging rights out of the Wisconsin recall. Voters say they favor Obama over Romney in the presidential election by 6 points. Chuck, that trend line is looking pretty bad for the incumbent. You've gone from a 14-point win in a state that's basically cored by a community that's one of the most liberal in the country. You've slipped here just a week ago. You were 8-point lead. And now as they're looking at exit polling of people who are actually coming to the polls, and that's actual real people coming to the polls, not the 96% turnout that they're hoping to get, he's slipping again. It went from 8 points to 6 points. And that depends on which precincts they were asking in, too.
That's right. In a state where the Democrat to Republican registrations is 2-to-1 margin.
This does not bode well. Barack Obama.
No, it doesn't. Now, of course, it's early in the season, but with the unemployment picture here, even with the attempts to make it look rosier by cutting people out who have stopped looking for a job, you know, people who have hit 99 weeks of unemployment, can't find anything, and are basically dropped out and are now either back living with relatives or on the welfare rolls. The attempts to make it all look rosier, like there's all these, I have to laugh when I look at some of the advertisements I see on places like cable channels and YouTube that show all these jobs being created. I go, where are they? I mean, I'm a businessman and we're doing okay during this period. We are certainly not seeing an economy that is recovering quickly. And in fact, the bottom has suddenly fallen out of home sales again, and the unemployment picture is creaking back up. This does not look good, Barry. And I just heard that the orders for medium and large size goods has fallen
durable
off.
Durable goods, yes.
Durable goods has fallen off.
And those are all major indicators of an economy that's in turmoil. But going back here, just looking at this Walker issue, just for a minute.
Yeah.
The one thing that ABC News does point out that I'll have to give them a little credit for is that they're looking at, and they're saying clearly that, well, the division between Democrats and Republicans in the state is much like it was in 2010, with both their numbers slightly down. And there's an apparent increase in turnout by independents in these results. That's a key, Charles. Many independent voters are now coming to the polls and they're polarizing toward candidates. And it's usually, as we're seeing trends across the country, polarizing toward more conservative and, yes, even Republican candidates over the light socialism of the Obama administration. That doesn't bode well, but the numbers we're seeing coming out of Wisconsin seem to indicate that that trend is alive and healthy in a bellwether state like Wisconsin.
Well, Barry, the law of the thirds is playing out here.
Yes, it is.
And if you don't know what that means, I will explain just real quick. Basically, there are one-third of the people who are staunchly loyal Democrats. There are one-third of the people that are staunchly loyal Republicans. And there are one-third of the people who sit the fence and basically very often make their decision on who to vote for as they walk into the booth. And what usually motivates those people is how they feel at that moment. And this is, I think that's what we're seeing playing out here. We see the independents sort of making an early decision about who makes them more comfortable. And it looks like, for whatever reason, that the president is not doing well in those assessments on those independent voters.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, some of the other polling that ABC did on the exit polling showing that voters even there are breaking about even. 50% have an unfavorable view of Democrats and 50% have an unfavorable view of Republicans. Again, that's pretty solid, especially in a state that's been heavily Democratic. And the only times it's been won by Republicans was Ronald Reagan in 1980 and 84.
Well, think about this, Barry. Now, you may not know much about history, but this is the state that had Robert La Follette as its senator for, what, something like five terms?
Something of that nature, at least, I think.
And if you don't know who Robert La Follette is, Robert La Follette was the progressive Republican.
Yes, he was.
And even though a lot of people don't understand this, even guys like Joe McCarthy, who was the senator from Wisconsin, was actually a progressive. He was an anti-communist progressive, but he was a progressive. He had socialist leanings. You essentially can't get elected from Wisconsin, or at least you haven't been able to in the past, without having at least a progressive streak.
Okay. Chuck, I just wanted to give a little update. While we were talking here, I've been looking, and it looks like we have a little bit of an update right now. Politico.com has showing early indications that Scott Walker is leading Tom Barrett by 52-47.
And Drudge has the same thing with 1% of the precincts reporting.
Yeah, that's with 1% of the precincts reporting. So.
And wow. Depends on what precincts that is. If that's somewhere in some conservative bastion in Wisconsin, then so what? If it's Milwaukee or Madison, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, with what's going on in Madison may be withholding its results, sort of like Chicago does, to see how many votes they need to catch up.
How many votes they need to get across the top, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's awful hard to count to 120.
Yeah, take the number of people that vote and multiply by 1.19, and then just put them all on the Barrett side.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of the way it turns out, one thing is extremely clear. The current administration is in very desperate trouble if the best they can do in a run-up to the big show in November is only keep a 6-point margin against a non-incumbent Mitt Romney, especially in Wisconsin, which was a 14-point win. That's pretty frightening. And you'll probably see, if you're paying attention, over the next few weeks, the major mainstream media trying to downplay anything they can downplay about Wisconsin and what's going on.
Definitely. Now, unfortunately, Barry, we're out of time.
I figured we would be.
Yeah, we are. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.